China supports 20% of the world's population on only 7% of the world's arable land. This has taken its toll on the soil over the years and has been a major reason for Beijing's push to reduce China's population. Feeding China has become even more difficult in recent years as desertification takes away usable land. The capital, Beijing, is on the front line, with the Gobi Desert moving closer to the city by about 10 miles each year. NPR's Rob Gifford has this report.
The wind whistles through the tiny hamlet of Langtogo, a small village of some 200 souls, about 150 miles north of Beijing.
La la la, la, go, 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 go.
Su Xiaofei is a jovial middle-aged farmer with a quick smile, but he sighs as he throws corn to his ducks and looks out at the barren moonscape all around.
The land right here in front of my house used to be so green and fertile, and we had fantastic harvests. But now the ground is so dry, and we can't grow anything at all. It's terrible.
Su and his wife live with their teenage son in a tiny two-room mud house. Heavy rainfall last summer spared the house, but caused a torrent of water to pour down from the hills and through the valley where they live.
The flood ruined everything. Our corn and wheat were all swept away. The problem was, there were no trees on the mountain. There was nothing to block the water. All the trees had been chopped down and all the grass had been eaten by the livestock.
What happened last year at Langtogo is happening all over China. The growing population has pushed Chinese peasants to produce more crops and more livestock, and to clear more land for cultivation. The government has encouraged this. Settlers have moved in from the coast to reclaim land. Rivers have been diverted, dammed, or sucked dry for irrigation. Problems have been building for a long time. Li Lai Lai is a U.S.-trained researcher at the Institute of Environment and Development in Beijing.
We are really in a critical situation in the respect of environment issues, environment development. I think that eventually, if we don't do anything, and many problems could be aroused, and many social problems, economic problems, even the poverty could be intensified. And if people are displaced, for example, by the desertification process, what do you expect how these people would live? It's very serious.
Li's Institute is one of a very small number of non-governmental organizations in China. Essentially apolitical, the environmental NGOs have been allowed to emerge because they add willing hands and minds to the fight against what is a major problem for China's leaders. The government wants to stop the environmental degradation, but some officials are concerned that overly strict controls could slow down the economy. Li Lai Lai says economic growth and environmental protection are not necessarily contradictory.
People think that the environment protection would cost a lot of money to a business, to the economic growth. But I think it's the opposite. If we don't take care of environment protection, and the business or economic development would suffer. We just need to change our mentality.
That's all very well to say, but for farmer Su Xiaofei, it's not quite that simple.
We had to give up our land so that the government can plant trees to prevent more erosion. We have also had to drastically reduce the number of animals we have. So we can't grow any crops now. And the only way we can live is by selling our sheep and cows. When we have sold them all, I have no idea what we will do.
To show the Chinese government's concern, Chinese Premier Zhu Rongji visited Langtogo village earlier this year. He encouraged the peasants to plant more trees and grass, saying that a better environment would, in the long term, make them more prosperous. But in the short term, Su hasn't received promised compensation for his land from the government, and he's having trouble feeding his family. In other words, he has been asked to pick up the tab for solving the environmental problem that the government helped create. In the kitchen of their tiny home, Su's wife and her sister make rice cakes, a staple of the diet here.
We
want to hold back the desert, she says, and of course we want to protect Beijing from it. We're really trying to look at the bigger picture, but it's very difficult, she adds, because life is getting harder every year. She points to the rice cakes on the kitchen table. They should contain beans, she says, for nutrition. But this year, the government hasn't let us grow any, so we'll just have to eat them without. Rob Gifford, NPR News, in Langtogo Village, northern China.